Hello and welcome to the October Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of haunted pals get together to talk about spooky anime. We host Ghoulie Ace, and joining me are Vampiric Artura.
I'm not doing the bad sounds again, so don't worry, you don't have to click out of the podcast.
And Goblin Gozagos.
I'm Batman.
In today's episode, we're talking about Resident Evil Death Island, aka Biohazard Death Island. It's a movie from 2023, and I chose this one because, well, one, it's October, so we're covering horror-themed stuff. And, well, we delayed covering this earlier in the year when it released because, you know, October. Spooky. Anime.
Yeah, you know, get with the system.
It was produced by TMS Entertainment, the studio behind Monster Rancher, Sonic X, and more recently, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, which we covered on this podcast last October. Resident Evil Death Island currently has a My Anime List score of 6.67. It's based on the Resident Evil series by Capcom, a survival horror franchise that's been going on since the original PlayStation. If you've recently listened to last year's Resident Evil episode, you'll have noticed that I've just copied and pasted a lot of these notes. My summary for Death Island is, with a mysterious rise in cases of zombies in San Francisco, can every main character from the game stop it in its tracks? Altera, what do you have?
Accompany the Resident Evil cast in an Avengers-like meetup against a new variant of the T-Virus. Again.
And goes.
Rejoin our heroes as they have to go against the worst villain yet. A revolver that just won't ever unload when an eccentric bad guy plays Russian roulette with himself over and over, so we can all just go home.
It could have been a much shorter movie, wouldn't it?
I mean, he was... like, it could happen. He kept allowing that possibility to be a realistic possibility. Like, I guess if I end up shooting myself, it will just be over.
All the hundreds of hours I've put into this plan would be gone in an instant because I decided to shoot myself again.
Seriously, what the fuck? I set up all this shit. I'm just gonna keep playing Russian roulette with myself.
We'll get into that shortly. We open on an Umbrella Corp strike team being deployed to Raccoon City in 1997. Yes, the events of Resident Evil 2. They are there to save Umbrella employees and not civilians. Like, definitely not civilians, they are told a couple of times. Smash cut to the team badly injured, almost to a man, and when calling for evac, the uninjured ones are told to quarantine their friends and wait for orders. So they're locked in a meat locker just before the order comes in to shoot anyone infected, including the team, and only then will evac be sent in. One of them, because neither of them are named at this point, they get names later, grabs a gun, and the other tries to stop them, but the team all turn into zombies and try to break free, so they get shot. And we'll get the titles. I have a question about the meat locker. Why was there a window looking into the locker and, like, an interrogation room looking into it?
We don't question that. It's important to the enemy.
I'm not a butcher, so I have no idea. And I'm not a baker either. Oh, if you don't know...
But do you make candlesticks? Sticks?
You heard about that.
We open on San Francisco in 2015 with someone talking to Leon Kennedy about a kidnapping which just took place and that he should expect the van to pass in a couple of minutes. The van immediately passes and he gives chase on his motorcycle. He's intercepted by someone who is definitely not dressed to be on a motorbike, who manages to make him crash after quite a cool fight scene. We then cut to a beach where Claire Redfield has just turned up to inspect a whale carcass. She concludes that a shark couldn't have killed it because of the bite radius. We then cut to Jill Valentine, who is investigating a house. She's doing that weird thing with her torch that we questioned in Infinite Darkness last year, and we decided that it was to prevent someone tracking their movements with their own beam of light.
I'm really glad you remembered that.
because you'd forgotten and you were going to ask why she was doing that.
No. Because I was like, oh God, not this again.
I'm proud of you that you remember your protocol for tactical flashlight for when you like gonna go into a house and like Jill and try to see if you want to buy it or not.
Upstairs, she locates a bloodied corpse and jabs it with her foot, but it doesn't move. Leaving the room, she's surprised by a zombie attacking her from where she literally just was, but manages to kill it. Like, I went back a couple of times, and it literally comes onto the landing from the same place she did, and we even see it reflected in the mirror, which was an unnecessary thing for the animators to do, but I really appreciated seeing that. It was, like, a second, maybe half a second reflection in the mirror before it comes running out at her.
It was great framing. It, like, an artistic shot. They just meant that that zombie is in that mirror. Very artistic.
But it comes from where she just was, so she literally did not check that room very well. Jill is joined by a SWAT team led by Chris Redfield, who admonishes her for entering alone, but she brushes him off. We cut to the next day, where Rebecca Chambers... Have you got your bingo cards? Can anyone call bingo for the full team of Resident Evil protagonists?
Yeah, for the protagonists, I think we're pretty close here. I think we're only missing... Let me see here. Ethan Winters. I'm not sure. Are we counting Maya or not?
I don't know who that is, so no.
How dare you? And also, I might have used the wrong name.
We're missing the boob locator one.
Was she a protagonist or was she an escort mission?
No, she was a... It was a co-op game. You could play either as her or as Chris Redfield.
Anyway, Rebecca is working in a laboratory, and she's joined by Chris. Apparently, last night's zombie was the 12th case, and Rebecca confirms it's a modified T-virus. It's been delivered by injection, and the victims of the zombies didn't turn into zombies themselves. Rebecca asks if Jill was bitten, and that reminded me if Jill was expecting zombies, because they said, Chris said about bioweapon, why did she go into that house in a low-cut sleeveless vest?
Because she needed the mobility to outrun the zombies.
Because she's Jill Valentine and she needs a revealing outfit. Okay, good. The two give spoilers for one of the previous games before we cut to Jill at the shooting range. Chris enters, making this the third scene in a row where he's entered the room, and tells Jill that she needs to be off the case. They continue spoiling one of the previous games, but she assures Chris that she's fine. We cut to the antagonists, where someone is working at a computer, and the one who stopped Leon earlier is watching, and someone enters with a cane and starts talking about mass production of the prototype. They call the keyboard person Dr. Taylor, which is the person Leon was trying to rescue, before tapping the cane on the floor several times and then trying to shoot Dr. Taylor, then himself, which is where we discover that it's Dylan Blake, which is the name of the person who did not shoot his friends at the start of the movie.
Worked out for him. Great. Got a cane out of it.
My next note is, no, it's not just you. I'd forgotten about him too.
Hey now, I hadn't forgotten about him.
I knew he was gonna be a villain from the first frame.
I just stupidly didn't realize he wasn't going to be a villain. I mean, backwards, that he wasn't going to be a hero.
I had to go back and look and wait, is he one of... Was he at the start of the movie? Is that why it didn't show his face and then suddenly shows his face? We cut to Chris entering the scene through a door again. This time with Jill. And they both greet Claire, who was getting coffee. They all go to Rebecca, who clearly left her glasses somewhere because in her first scene she had glasses and then took them off and never wears glasses again. And Rebecca's showing the tracking information of whales being lost in the vicinity of Alcatraz Island.
Wait, they're lost whales? What about all the people?
Well, we don't care about people here.
When the country of Wales went to San Francisco, things did not turn out well.
Did not turn out well?
Did they take Wales and move it to America like they did with the Bridge of London? London Bridge. Whatever.
Apparently the DNA in the bite wound of the whale from earlier has showed traces of the same T virus that was in the 12 cases of human zombies in the city. Rebecca had done some research and discovered that all 12 people had recently visited Alcatraz. So Chris, Jill and Claire jump on the ferry to Alcatraz while Rebecca slaps together a vaccine for the new strain of T-virus. She literally used the term slap, so...
He slapped it and vaccine happened.
She probably needed to slap some 5G microchips or something, whatever the conspiracy people say.
Whenever I go to the chemist, they just slap a bunch of things and give me the drugs that I need.
Cutting to the laboratory, Dr. Taylor has done a runner. Dylan then spots the protagonists on the security cameras and had clearly been expecting them. He references the torture device known as Bull of Valaris, but I've no idea how it factored into anything after this point. It seems to be a pretty a more modern thing where some villain will start talking about some nonsense from centuries ago, like the ship of Theseus or the Bull of Phalaris, for no reason. I mean, sometimes they have a reason, but usually it's not for any reason.
No, I totally see what you mean.
We go back to the protagonists, who are trying to work out how to get away from the tourists, when a zombie attacks. It bites two people before Chris gets around to bothering to shoot it, and then more tourists turn into zombies, some of which are very acrobatic, and it's not long before everyone except the antagonist is dead or undead.
Yeah, those are the nimblest fucking zombies. I mean, the nimblest zombies in Resident Evil. They had nimble zombies in other media, but Resident Evil zombies, no, they weren't that nimble before.
I'm familiar with the normal shambling ones and the redheads, which apparently move faster and can open doors, but I wasn't aware that any zombies could do parkour.
Don't you see they learned that after Dying Light came out? They needed to compete somehow.
I'm just going to assume that the modified T-virus, it gives them Mirror's Edge skills.
Are all the tourists, like, just did parkour for fun? Maybe that's how they got to the island.
They were all on the ferry. It was a very big ferry.
No, they just parkoured over the water.
Jill winds up in a basement area and goes exploring while her colleagues are battling for their lives above her. Elsewhere in the water, a cage opens up and some mutated creatures leave, only for one to be swallowed by a massive mouth that swims past the camera. We check in with Dylan, who tries to shoot himself again. Why does he keep loading that revolver and then unloading it? So he can put one bullet in it and then put the rest of the bullets in and then unload it and then put one bullet in.
Because that's how you make the game fair.
Just keep it with one bullet in.
Yeah, no, but maybe it wouldn't be cinematic.
But then, like, it wouldn't be the same bullet, you know? There needs to be enough randomization.
Needs to roll a d20.
Yeah, he should have thought of that.
He flashes back to Raccoon City, where his friend who shot everyone got bitten. Dylan gets shot, or shoots himself, it's unclear, in the leg while trying to shoot his friend, which explains why he's got a cane in the modern day.
But no, it doesn't. When you shoot yourself, you don't get a cane.
I mean, he unloaded half a magazine into his leg.
Oh, God damn it. Hate it when shows lie to me, because I was about to do it because I wanted a cane.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a cane just because you shoot yourself. Just go to the store and get a cane.
But then it's not cinematic.
Well, then, make it cinematic. Like walk in a wide shot and say, I want one cane, please, sir, madam. That will be $12. I don't know how much is a cane.
We don't see Dylan shoot anyone except himself, but we cut back to Claire and Chris, who locate a survivor. It's Dr. Taylor. I didn't realize until earlier, I don't think we were supposed to immediately know that it was Dr. Taylor, but having, read books, read comics, read manga, watched anime, watched TV shows, watched movies, interacted with any media, it kind of was obvious who it was.
I thought that Dr. Taylor was the fish man. Or one of them. One of them looked very, scientific.
Meanwhile, now in the sewers, Jill finds Leon. And they're found by zombies. And lickers.
CGI... those fish men. I thought we already mentioned them. So that's why I mentioned. They looked very smart, is what I'm saying.
The CGI and the animation on the lickers definitely didn't come across as good as the humans, I felt.
I think I agree with you.
But there was a borderline tentacle hentai moment.
Yeah, I almost wrote that, but I thought someone else will bring it up.
Yay,
you were right!
It was me. I did it.
Leon causes an explosion to get rid of them. And we cut to Claire, Chris, and Dr. Taylor, who gives a false name, and then tries to escape from them and is attacked by zombies. It was actually at this point that I realized, are we not supposed to know who he is? Because the subtitles used his pseudonym, not his real name. I was like, are you kidding me? This is clearly Dr. Taylor, the one who ran away, the only other named character.
It was actually Satan.
It was Dio.
We cut to Leon and Jill, where Leon explains about Dr. Taylor, who was a robotics expert who tried to sell his research to another country. It's later that they explain that he was a government employee and that's why it's a big deal, rather than some random scientist who tried to sell his research. So it's implied that they're secrets, not research.
How dare you, sir? How dare you want to work for another country, you fucking commie?
You live in America, you pay taxes to the American government, and you want to sell your research to France? How dare you?
Make us Gundams, goddammit. I mean, not Gundams. American-dums. That's what you're making.
Leon knocks out some bricks from a wall and leads the way into an industrial area with a bridge over some water and some bioweapons chained to the ground below said water. Back in the prison, Jill and Chris get stung by a microscopic robot and fall to the ground in pain. Couldn't help notice that the tourists didn't fall to the ground in pain. They just turned immediately.
Well, they weren't protagonists.
I was gonna say the same thing. The amounts of plot armor in this anime are very big, not because it's bad writing, but because when you stack several protagonists together, it becomes kind of like a multiplication.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Leon probably had a millennial puzzle also.
Taylor runs, but is stopped by the still-unnamed bike assailant. Underground, Jill wonders why there's a World War II-era submarine dock beneath a World War II-era military base, but Leon notes that it's being used as an armory now, so they investigate. Remember that for later.
God damn it. It's such a small mention, but if you don't remember it, in the last act, you will really it will be so jarring to you. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Back on the mainland, Rebecca calls Ingrid Hunnigan, who I understand is from a game or multiple games, who says that a mysterious someone had stolen intel on the protagonists in relation to every Resident Evil game and movie before this. So that explains how Dylan knew how to expect who was going to come investigating Alcatraz.
It's how he knew, like, when he was talking to each of them to, like, be mean, how to be mean to them, how to like say, "Oh, you see, like playing Castlevania," like Psycho Mantis reading your memory card.
I got it. You played Pro Evolution Soccer. Back underground or underwater. Leon and Jill locate the secret lab, along with schematics for biodrones, which were being produced in the water room they had passed through earlier. Dylan talks to them over the tannoy and says he's on the ground floor of the prison block with Claire and Chris. Meanwhile, Rebecca is packing 4 vials of vaccine, probably guessing that there's going to be no other survivors, and is accompanied by SWAT to, we assume, go to Alcatraz. Leon and Jill locate the others in locked cells in clear distress, along with Taylor, who Leon recognizes. And this is where we get the gasp, "Oh, it wasn't some random guy, it was the named guy."
It wasn't some random guy, it was the named guy.
Walter White!
Dylan enters the scene and explains his plan that we honestly already knew because Leon and Jill worked out a scene ago. Leon realizes that Dylan must have been working with Arius, whoever or whatever that is, which explained the unnamed motorbike assailant, whoever she is.
Oh, because a reminder, like, this is a direct sequel to another film that we didn't see.
Yeah, we... last year we covered the previous movie. However, there was a movie before that, which this is a sequel to. This isn't a sequel to the last one we covered. It's a sequel to the one we're probably going to cover next year, unless they bring out another Biohazard.
Well, the one we covered was a mini-series. And I have no idea where that one fit in the timeline. I don't know where any of them fit in. Except that it was after Resident Evil 6.
All I know is it's after Resident Evil 2.
Well, it was clearly after Resident Evil 5.
I haven't played them.
You're a fake fan. He's a fake fan, Arthur.
I'm not even trying to pretend to be a fan.
My God, he's a fake fan. I cannot believe it. Why are you watching these movies then?
Because you guys won't record the podcast without me.
Blasphemy. That just sounds like excuses.
Anyway, Dylan finally names the motorbike assailant as Maria and explains her motivation for helping him is because Leon killed her father. So, yeah, sorry, spoilers for Resident Evil Vendetta.
Yeah, now you don't need to watch it.
Dylan then has a flashback of beating his friend to death, which is why he wants to kill everyone who he thinks deserves it, because he was ordered, like, kill your friend and then we will get you out of Raccoon City.
Jeez, he had, like, negative motivation for doing anything. Like, he got, like, no personality at all.
His motivation was, I was able to kill my friend, and so everyone who I think needs to die.
His motivation was he wished he had motivation.
Outside, the SWAT team are attacked on the water by the Big Mouth, which might have been an orca or a shark. Inside, Dylan shoots Dr. Taylor, and Jill apparently has to run when Maria attacks her. Since she was unaffected by Leon's flashbang, it's curious why we see her in the sewers seconds later instead of, you know, punching Maria and shooting Dylan.
Well, it was like a ninja flashbang, so when you throw it, people just teleport randomly.
Oh, right. My mistake.
They disappear and they're somewhere else.
Oh, sorry. Well, that was the scene that Gauze mentioned where Dylan has something mean to say about all of them. Ah, Chris, everyone who you bring on a mission dies, and Jill, you suck, and Claire, you suck.
Yeah, you go on a mission where one of you might die, and one of you dies. Jesus fucking Christ. What the fuck are you doing with your life?
Jill, nice outfit. And we're like, oh no.
He meant her pants, not her tits.
Oh, thank God.
Dylan and Maria leave, which gives Dr. Taylor a chance to reveal that he made a backdoor into the network and give Claire the information how to get in. In the sewers, Jill finds Rebecca, who is alone, as the SWAT team are all dead. Jill then sends Rebecca to deliver the vaccine to the other protagonists, not bothering to warn her about the potential hostiles, while she herself goes to destroy the biodrone incubators.
Yeah, that was so stupid. Like, I just left that place where guy was killing us. Go back there. Go back there and fix this. I'm gonna go this way. You go that way, I go home.
Yeah, take the vaccine that way. Was your boat this way? Okay, see you later. Maybe. In the submarine control room / secret lab, Dylan sends the drones to 13 cities across the world, and then picks up a hypodermic injector. I was going to try and work out which cities they were, because they seemed chosen at random. There was London, there was Cologne in Germany, there was, I think, Madrid. There were two cities in America and one in Canada. I think Egypt was another one, but they just seemed randomly chosen. Like, what? Who in those cities are you targeting?
When they went to Egypt, Egypt people were just, oh, I guess it's plague o'clock again.
As he tells Maria to open the floodgates, Rebecca reaches the cell block and slowly injects the infected protagonists, you know, who are going to turn into zombies any second now.
Ensobean!
Jill takes time to stop and wonder what the plan is, despite having been told the plan, and somehow in the control room way ahead of Jill, Leon wonders the same thing. Like, what was Jill doing this whole time? I know she took the long route instead of the shorter route which Leon managed to take, but that annoyed me. Maria finally gets to speak as she confronts Leon, having made a couple of grunts but had no dialogue despite having been in scenes now. She easily gets the upper hand while Jill confronts Dylan, who stood above the World War II sub, watching the bioweapon shark whale thing swim in. Dylan injects himself with a hypo and drops into the water, getting swallowed up by the shark whale. In the control room, after a fight, Leon eventually wins.
As Leon does.
Everyone is reunited in time to see that Dylan fused with a bioweapon shark whale. So they fight it with rocket launchers, among other things, because this is Resident Evil.
Because it's armory.
Yep, because of the armory. Because they find a plasma gun.
Every single gun is there.
I almost made a list of which weapons they use, because it's light machine gun, heavy machine gun, bazooka, and RPG.
Like a bunch of really iconic video game weapons, really.
And a BFG, and a shotgun. And,
and the assault rifle from the first Halo.
But they defeat the bioweapon shark whale thingy by using the biodrones to swarm it and inject it, which messes with its chemistry. And then it tries to escape through the open submarine gate, but they manage to crush its head with the gate and defeat it. Outside, they congratulate each other on a successful mission where dozens of civilians die, along with a number of SWAT team members, as helicopters come in to exfiltrate them, and we get the credits. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yeah.
Let's see. They were out of ammo at one point. There was a lot of plot armor. there was the T-virus. I think it was a good adaptation.
They didn't use any herbs to heal themselves, though.
Damn it, never mind. Worst movie ever.
It was familiar characters. Everyone without a name died. The big bad mutated. People got infected. They used rocket launchers. I mean, apart from the acrobatic zombies, it seemed like a Resident Evil to me.
The final boss could have used the health bar, because it was going on and on and on. God damn it, like, they first, oh, we're gonna have to fight this thing. Everyone has a handgun instead of, like, looking for something else right away. Like, that's gonna take a while. Just show me a health bar just ticking down.
Yeah, it was really funny to me when they kind of, like, pan to all the protagonists just reloading their gun. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was that. They had a big hero team moment where the camera could just go across them while they were all in their heroes, and then they had to actually do something.
Yeah, it was dumb, even for this franchise. I mean, it's not that, like, if they pushed the rest of the film that far, then it would be fine, but that moment just stood out as so out of place. Just go for the plasma rifle right away or something.
So was it a spooks up, a scares down, or a boo meh? Arturo.
So I think for me it has to be a boo meh, because although I quite liked it, I liked the franchise, I liked the characters, and I think it was a really good adaptation, it just feels like there was a lot of plot holes that were just massive oversights and lazy writing. And because of that, I can't say it's fully good. I would recommend it, but I wouldn't say it's like, oh, absolutely, you have to watch it. It's the best thing ever, because, you know, the mosquitoes and the fact that they all started shooting with little guns, or the fact that only the protagonist survived, it's just not for me.
And goes.
This was a hard decision for me, because I feel like, again, like, I see Resident Evil as being dumb fun. Like, it's not some kind of high art that, like, it has its moment, but yeah, it's not high art. And this felt like an episode of, like, a TV show. Like, the gang goes to Alcatraz in this one. Like, it didn't have enough, like, character or enough for me to care about. I mean, character, like, character conflict, character development. Something to, like, make me relate to our characters, you know? It didn't have that. Yeah. It had a little bit, like, hints at internal conflicts for them, but it's like, again, one episode of, like, a 20-episode series where it would get explored more and more.
So, spooks up, scares down, or a boo-meh?
The boo-meh.
For me, also a boo-meh. The action was great until we got to the Maria Leon fights, which was stupid. And then the quality of the CGI on the lickers and the final boss, it just, you remember those old movies where they use stop animation for the monsters? It looked like that.
Mm.
Oh no, yeah.
Like, if you watch the final boss fight, it seems clear that the boss and the submarine bay are different quality to Jill when she's, like, running away from it. The monster certainly looks like a practical effect that they've put in rather than the same CGI quality.
Yeah, they need to do a director's cut of this and, like,
yeah,
add, like, whatever it was lacking, you know. Sorry, Arthur,
no,
go on.
No, don't worry. And I do agree. I totally forgot about the Leon Maria fight. And just, you know, she had so many opportunities, God. Like, so many. And by the time he killed her, the way he does, it's like, really? That happened?
The two things that stood out about the fight were she rips some random thing out of one of the consoles, and the wires just happen to be long enough for her to use as a whip from a couple of meters away to get around his throat.
Yeah, actually, I had to like go back and look closely at what happened. I was like, is she a bioweapon?
Yeah, I thought they were like vines or something.
Yeah.
And when Leon gets this sudden burst of energy right at the end before he kills her, like, where did that come from? What caused that?
He ate an herb out of camera.
He had a sense of being.
So, does this deserve its My Animalist score of 6.67?
Yeah, I think that's right about right. I don't think I would go too much lower because I enjoyed it enough. It might just be plot armor because it's Resident Evil and I've actually grown quite fond of the franchise, but I wouldn't really say it's much lower than that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree on the score. Like, for me, I think, again, if it was shorter, it would be perfect. Again, if it was a part of like a series.
Yep. I also agree with the score. So, yeah. Well, thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gozigos.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on Grimm.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grimmcast podcast. Until next time, scream on.